words themselves are. And what we say, how we use them, there's so many different things. And if you just, I have to keep myself focused here, because there's so many things with words that I found and want to talk about. And the other day, there was one of the guys, we're at work, we were talking, he stopped in and talked about going to a gun range. And I said, oh, okay, which one? And he goes, well, I'm going to be honest with you. This one, this, and he goes on with something. And I'm like, well, I appreciate your honesty, and I'm glad you're going to be honest with me. And he just kept talking after I said that. Well, one of the guys I'm working with, he's kind of laughing. He goes, I don't think he heard anything you said. And, again, it's funny because, to me, it's always one of those things, and I talk about with the boys all the time with this. It's funny how if you're talking to someone, maybe you do it yourself. If you ever say, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, and I know, I'm sure I've probably said this probably multiple times before. It's like, why do you have to preface what you're going to say with, I'm going to be honest with you? I'm hoping every single time any one of you talk to me that you're honest with me in everything you say. There should never be a time where you or I have to preface what we're going to say with, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be truthful with you about this. I'm hoping we are all automatically are every time. But again, it's one of those things that we say all the time. Again, I'm just talking about words here. This was several years ago where I worked. Long story, there's an IT company came in, and the IT guy pulled a piece of equipment out of the, I worked in our dispatch office at the time. And so I emailed him. I'm like, hey, just curious, can't even think of his name now. Why did you remove this? A week and a half later, I still never had a response. So me being me, I replied back to my own and to him. I'm like, okay, cool. Literally within, it was less than an hour, I know, I want to say minutes, he replies back, he goes, is this sarcasm? So I replied back, no, this is Jeremy. And again, words, and obviously it was sarcasm, we all know it was sarcasm. that guy never wanted to talk to me ever again if he ever came into the room. It obviously was sarcasm. But words are important. If you just Google, so I was Googling for a few days in the past couple weeks even, how words matter. There's something called the Operational Excellence Society. I want to be a part of this. And they have there's an article there called they have something called the Words Matter Movement. And I'm not going to go through everything there. There's pages of something, but I thought that was just kind of odd. There's a Words Matter Movement. And it's pretty lengthy, but they talk about some things, again, how words matter, what they mean, what they do, and that's just it. But again, words are important, and in a second here, just a few seconds, we'll get into some scripture and talk about how that is, especially when it comes to the Bible, but it's very important that we understand some things. Now, again, you look up words, there are many things on how you should present your words, how you should say, and when I go back to what I was talking about, when someone says, I'm going to be honest with you, it's kind of a filler, too. It doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't really add anything to what you're saying. Same thing, and now we all do it. So let me preface what I'm going to say, too. I'm sure I do all the things I'm saying that you hear, and we all probably do, everyone probably in this room. So don't think I'm saying these things, and I'm perfect, and I don't do those. One of the other things, there's a couple other ones where someone was talking and they say, after every sentence, they say, right? The question, right? Right? Now you're going to hear these things. You're going to say, oh, Jeremy's talked about that. Now I can hear it. It's the same thing when we say or I remember there was a speech professor, I just did it there, at Akron U, and he talked about record yourself and how many uhs and ums you use. I cannot not hear it anymore. I was listening to a speech by the governor actually yesterday in a training, and they were talking about a press conference. And what are some things you were kind of critiquing press conferences? And I said the one thing, the amount of uhs and ums. I cannot hear anything else other than that. The whole point with all of those things, we want to be specific with our words. We want to be direct with our words and what we're saying. Now, I'm not saying we won't do those things and we don't do those things. Don't get me wrong. I'm probably going to do uhs and ums. I probably won't say, to be honest with you. Getting rid of that. But there are many important things with words. And there were some things I looked at. Simplicity. This one website talked about simplicity is king. We want to make sure our words are understandable. Brevity is power, or keep it short. One thing we always have, and this goes with the next point, says also avoid jargon. It's not about the number of words we use. Sometimes I think what we've done is we've replaced quality with quantity. We're so concerned with saying so many words. We're so concerned with trying to get everything. Now, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is Don, this is Steve, this is Greg, this is anybody in specific. I'm not saying that. But we have to understand that we want to make a point with something. I'm hoping to do that even with the class tonight and not just ramble on about words. Because, again, there are so many things. I even have a sheet here where it talks about different meanings of words. There are some things here where he says, I have an ant bite on my arm. And in the next sentence, the same word, it's important to arm yourself with a solid education. Words can mean different things. It's funny, in one, oh, here it is. This dates whoever, don't take this the wrong way because I'm part of this too. I will make a batch of cookie dough. After I get paid, I'll have enough dough to go to the arcade. Who remembers going to the arcade? There was one I remember when I was a kid up on Arlington Road we would walk up to as well. Again, going on with words, we have to understand that they mean something. Again, I don't want to keep reading different articles here. There's so many more I could probably go into, and I will run out of time. But there was a gentleman who wrote or spoke on a TED Talk not too long. Well, it was 2013. He said, the American diet, 34 gigabytes a day. This is what it was kind of entitled. He talks about information the average American consumes, and I don't know how you measure this, but 34 gigabytes of content and 100,000 words of information in a single day. He said, to provide some context, Leo Tolstoy's massive opus, War and Peace, is 587,287 words. He means in less than a week, you're kind of doing that. He's just talking about you're consuming information, reading words. You're taking so much in. This was 10, 12 years ago, so obviously it's more. So words are important is where I'm trying to get with all of these. I'm not going to read any more articles. Now, what's important, though, with any words is truth. If we consider Paul's words to Timothy in 1 Timothy, obviously there were some who had swerved away from the gospel. They were going on to different things. And so look with me, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look in the beginning here. And in verse 3, so Paul's kind of giving an introduction here in the first couple verses, and then the next part he says in verse 3, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. So what's something that we notice here? Well, Paul is implying that there's an obvious, objective truth. It's not questionable here. There cannot be another gospel without the first. There cannot be false teaching without objective true teaching then. And truth is the product of God's word. Truth is what comes out of this. In John 17 and verse 17, we read, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. John 8 and verse 32, when we talk about truth, we all know it says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I wanted to just, and there are many other verses. Look, I'm just naming a few here. When we talk about truth, and the point for the next, this sets up some of the next points I'm going to get to, is the fact that no matter what, truth comes first. Truth will always or should always prevail as well. But the tongue is powerful and words are powerful. And that's what we want to look at this evening. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, we read that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's meaningful. It's powerful. There's something to it. It's not empty. And earlier I talked about sometimes we have fillers. We have empty words. A lot of that is just nervousness. We're not sure what we want to say. How many times does your mouth go faster than your brain? Every day. Happens all the time. Happens to me. It's going to happen probably tonight as well. But there's something you want to say and you're thinking about it. Well, your mouth's going faster before your brain can actually catch up to the point you're going to say. And that's why I was talking about some of those filler words. Sometimes people are using them because they're nervous. They're not. They're trying to catch up with what their brain is doing as well. So it's not all wrong. But remember that death and life, it says, are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. It's powerful. There's something behind it. The psalmist David had a heart after God's as well. We're going to look at Psalms 12 here in just a moment. And so he was often perplexed and dismayed at the world he lived in. Not unlike us. We think about the world that we live in, what's going on today. And for David, he was trying to do everything right. And what were people trying to do to him? Yeah, kill him. They wanted to kill him. In Psalm 12, beginning verse 1, it says, "Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, 'We will triumph with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master?'" Does this sound similar to what's going on today? Doesn't this sound exactly what's happening as well? The faithful have vanished. It's obviously not fully true. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. How many times do you get phone calls about Medicare, Medicaid? Right? Several times. Everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about. You ever tried to talk to them? I've talked to them before, and I've actually had them admit what they're doing. And I was talking to, I'll say, a gentleman one time, and I told him, "You're going to have to answer one day for what you're doing. You're stealing from people. You're lying to them." I felt like I started to get through to him, and then he ended up hanging up on me. And, right, yeah, exactly. But they don't speak the truth. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Now, there, some commentaries think this is in the context of 1 Samuel 22, where David's betrayed by Doeg, the Edomite, and causing the death of the priest there. But David is calling for God's help because he doesn't see the integrity in men's words and the world that he's living in as well. He's seeing lies. He sees deception. He's wanting God to cut off those lies and arrogant talk among the people, among those men there. And the problem that David sees is not just the speech itself, but I think the motivation behind it. And it kind of says three things here, what we look at. We will triumph with our tongues. What we say is powerful. It can be. Let me back up. What we say can be powerful. Can be authoritative. And men always believe that everything they say, everything their words, whatever they are more important than God's. Look at polls that happen today. Look at, quote unquote, I'll say, public opinion. We think of some of the hot topics. What are some of the hot topics we even look at today? Abortion. Which bathroom should we use? It's funny, when I did a Google search previously of words, how words matter. I'm trying to think how I phrased it. You know, AI is in everything now, and it's one of the first things when you do a search. And I'm going to get it wrong how it was worded. But it talked about using inclusive language. Instead of using men and women, use this. But that's where we are. Even AI is crazy and weird today. We own our lips. Everyone is entitled to say what you want. Free speech. Think of how powerful words are. What is, does free speech, let me back, does free speech mean you can say whatever you want without any consequence? No. No, not at all. But I've heard someone use that, and they were, this was a situation at work, they're like, well, I can say whatever I want, my boss can't do anything to me. That's not what free speech is. Basically, as far as in America, free speech is the government just can't throw you in jail for speaking out against them. That's what free speech is talking about. You can't just say whatever you want to your boss and think there's not going to be a consequence to that. What about with God? Again, everyone says free speech. Are we doing, though, does our speech match our life as Christians? Does it match what we're saying? Does everything we do match how we're speaking, what we're saying? Our walk. Many times, a lot of times, unfortunately for many people, I don't think their words correspond with our convictions. Do we speak out when we need to, when we're supposed to? Or do we even speak out at all? Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 36 and 37 here. What we have to remember is, just as I mentioned a few moments ago, that we can't just say whatever we want to without any consequence. We have to remember that God holds us responsible for our speech. In Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 36, we read, "I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So what does that tell us as far as what we say, how we act towards someone? It matters. Yeah, absolutely, Ryan. It matters. It's not just that we can think, well, we can hide from God. We can whisper and he won't hear us. And I think, unfortunately, that's what many people do. But you're absolutely right. It matters. God will know. God will hear us. Another funny story, I'm sorry, about work is we meet with our other stations in the morning. We use Microsoft Teams, and we have hanging microphones coming down in our training room. You can hear every single thing anyone whispers. And I tell guys that all the time. And it's funny because someone will start whispering about someone else at one of the other stations, and then I'll get a text message. Tell so-and-so I can hear them talking about me. And again, words matter then and there. So we can't just whisper and think, Jeannie, yes. Absolutely. And along with that, when you talk about vain repetition, what's something you can think of, let's say, as far as prayer and vain repetition? The model prayers. Are we reading it just word for word? Sure. Right. I think about that in the model prayer, quote unquote model prayer, when people are just repeating words. That's just being, they're just saying words because that's what they say. That's what you're supposed to do. We're going to just repeat this exactly, and there's no thought in it as well. That's the same thing. I mean, when someone's leading a prayer, and I'm 100% with you, Jeannie, we have to be careful that we're not just saying things just because we say those words. But what are we doing when someone's leading a prayer as well? Are we just listening to those words? Or are we in prayer with that? Are we active in that also? So absolutely, we have to be careful of this vein. Actually, Paul, I think your hand was up next. Absolutely. Absolutely. Someone can always go back and be careful what you're saying, how you're saying those things. And we have to watch that because you're right. Someone go back. And I think, Shantae, I remember you talking about that before, just how those things can... I think we were talking about bullying or something one time. And just even online, maybe that wasn't you, I can't remember, but that we have to be careful what we're saying. And just because you're typing it somewhere doesn't make it any less as well. I have a couple. Autumn, I'll get you first and then... Yes, and that's a great point. Sometimes we were talking in our class on Sunday, and we've done it back here in the Wednesday night class. The book we're doing, one of the chapters, he talks about a difference in knowledge and wisdom. And we can be knowledgeable in something. And just like you said, we can spit out even scripture, tell someone. Actually, I was talking tonight with someone, and even before, and I was thinking about this, Autumn, as you said, that Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Then he says, keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now, he's talking about restoring a brother, but also when we're talking to somebody, actually, Matt, the reason I brought up words too, Matt Taylor, I think it was when, who was doing the class a few weeks ago, and Matt Taylor talked about how it's important how you speak to somebody. I don't know if anyone remembers that, but how you address them and how you talk to them. And you're absolutely right, Autumn. Sometimes we can use too big words, or we throw. So one of the examples I was using with Galatians 6:1 is when I talked about truth earlier, we can tell someone what the truth is. And maybe we spit out scripture. And almost to the sense, and I'm not saying someone does this exactly, but someone's going to someone. And just because you're sitting up here, I'm going to use you, Mary. Scripture says this, do this or else. Or if I say, hey, the Bible says this, let's sit down, we need to talk about this, and this is why it says this. Are you going to, as Mary, how I addressed you, are going to be like, yeah, whatever you say, I'm going to go ahead and do it. You're not going to be drawn to it. You're not going to think, it sounds good, I want to go back. You're going to become defensive. You're going to think, well, this doesn't really sound good or sound right. And I think similar probably to what you're talking about there, too, in the fact of our words are important, but how we use those words are important as well. And we need to think, and even in Galatians here, again, to keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted. Whatever that issue is, whatever that problem, we have to watch ourselves because we can be vulnerable to it as well. But absolutely. Robert, I think you were next. Has anyone ever become frustrated, angry? All of us can raise our hand in that. Have we become so frustrated and angry at times where we say things we know we shouldn't say? All of us have probably done that from time. Absolutely, we have to be careful of our words. I can remember a time I was in the hospital and was in a shared room. A doctor came up and I was a little bit younger. My heart was out of rhythm. Well, he came up and basically said, "My heart's failing. I'm dying." And the guy next, and I'm like, "Wait, what?" The guy next to me said, "That's me." I'm like, "Oh." Yeah, he had the wrong bed. And he was very, I remember that just started. It started off on the wrong foot there. I think you remember that. And he came back later and was talking to me. And again, now I'm 20-something years old. My heart is out of rhythm. He's saying, "This is normal." And that just, I was like, no, I think I raised my voice. My blood pressure was probably getting up. And I told him, "You know, you need to get out of here." Actually, head of the floor, she came up and she apologized. And then he later apologized later. I'm just like, "I'm sorry too. You know, he goes, no, I shouldn't have." So sometimes, yeah, we have to be careful. Now, I didn't say anything wrong, I felt. I just remember being kind of, I was taking it up a few levels, I felt like, and my heart was probably getting faster anyways. But yeah, when he started off basically telling me things aren't going well at all, it didn't go. But words, yeah, absolutely. And how we conduct ourselves, what our words are, matter. When we teach, right, anytime, I want to make sure I'm saying everything that's true, everything that's correct, everything according to God's word. I remember one time someone did correct me on something a little bit younger, and I was talking about a president, and I mentioned the wrong president who said these words, and I can't even remember what it was. But I had a brother come up and say, "Hey, just make, you know, you just said this one." And so that wasn't a big deal, but we want to make sure it's important, because anytime what I'm saying or doing, and I talked earlier about false teachers, I want to make sure what I'm saying is correct, is true. James 3, he talks about that there's a greater responsibility in those. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." He's not saying that the teacher is judged more critically because of the power of speech, but the teacher can influence others. And not that you should avoid teaching. That's the other thing. Don't take that wrong way. But even in Hebrews 5, some were condemned because they should be teaching. At that point, they were Christians for so long, but they really haven't done anything. And speaking of, in James, if we go to James chapter 3 and look with me in verse 2 of James 3. James 3, beginning in verse 2, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." And again, he's using analogies here of where we can see the horse, the ship, the little things that turn it here. And any one of us can make a mistake. Any one of us can stumble in our walks as Christians, but are we displaying control? Can we control those things? Are we controlling our tongues? Are we controlling our bodies? Do we have control over those things? And one is evidence also of the other. How many times do you go somewhere and missing something here, sorry. How many times do you go somewhere, your work or wherever it may be, and you hear the speech you hear at work or wherever it may be? Is it wrong? Is it? I'm sorry, I'm missing what you're saying. Oh, I'm sorry. Someone had their hand up, please. Oh, Taylor, I'm sorry. No, go ahead, please. He was waving to me, and I couldn't figure it out. I thought they were telling me to move over here. Sorry, Taylor, go ahead, I'm sorry. Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. There was specific, but we also can apply that. How many times have any of us listened to a sermon? And again, I'm not calling anybody specific out on this, but there are big words in there. There are so many words that you've forgotten what the point was of it. Whereas, again, absolutely, Taylor, the gospel is so simple. The word is so simple. But who complicates it? Yeah, we do. I have sat through some before, and I'm not saying just here, where words have been used that I have no idea what they mean. Now, people have heard me say this. I'm sometimes, I don't want to say overly critical, but sometimes even the words, the songs we sing, please don't anyone take this the wrong way, but we even sing songs that the words are older, that are even, you know, I'll say from the 1700s. We don't speak that way. But again, the important thing is the message, the word, what's being said. It's not about if I can get up here and say the 10,000 words, that I can say how many words. So, yeah, sometimes you're right. We think what's a marathon session. We have to say so much. We have to go for this long. But the fact of the matter is what we are saying correct? Is it true? And it is important for the Etheridge. Again, how important then? Does it matter what we say? Or is it just empty in there? Great point. Absolutely. Brother Taylor.
Some of those same men changed over the years and began to teach what they earlier condemned.
Right.
And so words are important, as you said, but they can also condemn us as well. And so it's not enough to learn the truth, to use the words of the scriptures.
Absolutely. And like you said, those who have spoken the truth, but now they're speaking something completely different. What usually happens also when they, let's say they leave, they get followers with them, right? They have other people that it doesn't, right? And it doesn't matter what the truth is in those words. It matters who is speaking those words and doing it. Yeah, great points. Absolutely. Joe. Right. When you were saying that, the one thing I was thinking, have you ever texted somebody and they took it the wrong way? There's a problem in text messaging, too, is you don't hear voice inflection. You don't hear, you know, true meaning. But you're absolutely right, Joe, is are we humble enough to be able to, well, first, are we speaking what's right, how we should, or even understanding what are my words doing to someone else? Again, I don't want to say anything up here to turn anyone else opposite or turn someone the other way. But absolutely, we have to understand what we're saying and what it can do with someone as well. And I have a lot more. I'll finish up, and then if anything else, in James 3, verses 5 and 6, continuing then, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. And this kind of goes along, too, with the fact of that same thing with we can't control the tongue. We're not going to control the rest of our lives. The bridle turns the entire horse. The rudder turns the entire ship. Sometimes it's the little things. And what I was saying earlier, too, is I'm sure in everyone's workplaces, you hear the worst things possible, what someone may say. You hear this so much at times, and you think, what is this? I can't even talk to this person. They can't even go three words, maybe, without the worst things coming out of their mouths. And what does that do? Now, that's, to me, it's an extreme example, but it kind of, you don't want to talk to that person. You don't want to be involved. Whatever they say, it's not going to really matter in there. But the same thing, too, Joe, is like, if we're not humble in what we're saying, if we're not truthful in what we're saying, and our words don't matter, then we're not going to bring someone to God's word, too. Was there one more hand here? Did you say? Okay. That's the second bell, and I thank everyone for their comments, questions, and attention. Thank you.